Monday. Feel like a Monday to you, Craig? No, it doesn't. I can't tell you what day it is. It's been a blur. The last 3 weeks have been a blur for me. Here in the first hour or so of Issues Etc. coming to you live this Monday, the 30th of January, a little bit of open lines for your questions and your comments. A very interesting set of audio sound bites we have to play for you. The first ones are going to be coming from New Life Community Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Now, you might not be familiar with the congregation, but I think you are with its pastor, Pastor Ted Haggard. He is president of the National Association of Evangelicals. He's been a guest on this program, and he's been the subject of numerous conversations. What happened there on Sunday, yesterday? Well, Pastor Ted Haggard turned his pulpit over to a Jewish rabbi. It wasn't a speech, it wasn't a presentation. He let the rabbi preach on Sunday morning yesterday in Colorado Springs. And we'll be hearing a little bit, some sound bites from AP, from Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein, I believe is the name, and just getting your reaction to it. Ted Haggard, in an interview with us sometime back here on Issues Etc., when asked whether or not it was necessary that Christians hear the message of sin and grace, law and gospel, on Sunday mornings, said, no, there's lots of other things that we need to preach about, and apparently it can also be done not only by a Christian preacher, but also by someone who doesn't believe Jesus is the Messiah. We'll be hearing some of that. I want your reaction. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We are coming to you live this Monday. It's the 30th of January. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Then a little bit later, also hearing some from some Palestinian Christians, their reaction to the change of power, the recent elections there in the Palestinian. Do we call this a Palestinian state yet? I don't think it's a state yet, but it is an authority, and the authority has shifted from one party to another. And of course, the one that was elected by an overwhelming majority, at least got a majority in their parliament, is still classified by the U.S. as a terrorist organization, Hamas. So we'll hear a little bit there, and then also we'll be, as time permits, hearing a piece from PBS's Religion and Ethics News Weekly on the most recent papal encyclical, this being the first from Pope Benedict VI. And it has to do with the love of God. It deals with human sexuality and with Christian charity. I'll give you a little bit of a summary, and we'll be hearing what PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly. They interviewed a reporter from the Catholic National Reporter, and just a summary of this papal encyclical, significant and first major pronouncement from the new pope. And then a bit of a sermon review. This is a short and sweet sermon. From, well, you know, Pastor Will Whedon is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He has an associate there. It is his vicar. We call these young men who are training to be pastors and spending a year in the parish vicars. Well, Vicar Charles Lehman preached a sermon, I think it was not this last Sunday, Sunday before last. I want to review his sermon. Very interesting. It's all open lines there until about 4:30. At 4:30, we'll be talking with Pastor Dan Kruger about depression. Following that, a conversation with our good friend and regular guest, Dr. Uwe Simonetto. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Christians and Governmental Authority. How have Christians dealt with the issue of resistance in the past? Bonhoeffer is one example. There are others as well. Uwe will join us to talk about that. We'll round off today's program talking with Ed Martin, who is an attorney here in St. Louis. He has become party to both an Illinois and a Missouri lawsuit, set of lawsuits on behalf of the pharmacists against Walgreens having to do with that issue. The morning after pill, you saw the story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the Metro section of Friday. Morning after pill dispute costs pharmacists her job. We've interviewed one of those pharmacists before here on the program. We'll talk with the attorney in the last 20 minutes of Issues, etc. Well, here's a story I've been thinking about here for about the last hour or two. In fact, I've been listening to the sermon that was preached by Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein at New Life Church in Colorado Springs. Very interesting that a person who denies Jesus to be the Christ would be invited by a Christian minister to preach on Sunday morning. But that's what happened at Ted Haggard's church. The AP says the president of the National Association of Evangelicals has turned his pulpit over to a Jewish rabbi for a day to show Christian solidarity with Israel. Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein chairman of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, delivered the Sunday sermon at Reverend Ted Haggard's New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Well, let's hear a little bit of what Rabbi Eckstein had to say yesterday at New Life Church in Colorado Springs. He says that Israel's interim leader, that is, you know, of course, that the prime minister of Israel has been severely affected by a stroke, not likely to return, so there's an interim leader, that this interim leader of Israel values the support and the friendship of American Christians.
The acting prime minister, who may very well be the future prime minister of Israel, Ehud Olmert, is a dear friend to Christians, to evangelicals.
Now, I want you to listen to this, not in the context of a Jewish rabbi simply bringing greetings from people of high estate in Israel. Listen to this as a Sunday sermon, because that's what this is. Yesterday, New Life Church, Colorado Springs, Pastor Ted Haggard's congregation, instead of Pastor Haggard preaching or another Christian preacher preaching, no, Rabbi Eckstein. It's one of the 10 largest churches in the U.S., about 11,000 showing up in any given week. So listen to it in that context. Rabbi Eckstein says that the people of Israel have something they've never had before in all of Jewish history.
We have Bible-believing Christians who have put themselves in solidarity with us at our time of need.
They also have Bible-believing Christians who have put Rabbi Eckstein into a Christian pulpit on a Sunday morning. Now, this is not the first time, by the way, that he's spoken at a Christian church, but I think it is the first time that he's spoken to Christians in one of the top 10 largest Christian churches with a pastor as famous as Pastor Ted Haggard, the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. So my question to you is this. It's open lines. Actually, I'm sure there's more than one question here, but the one that occurs most readily is, should this happen? Yes, we have a time of turmoil in leadership in both Israel and Palestine. Yes, we're talking about peace in the Middle East. Yes, all these things are in the news. Yes, Christians have, in at least in America, for a long time, under the sway of dispensationalism, confused the modern state of Israel with the Israel of biblical prophecy. But even in spite of all those things, should this happen? Should someone who denies that Jesus Christ is Savior, by very definition of their religion, a Jewish rabbi, as much as he admires Christians and as much as he admires their support and their help and their friendship, should he be given the Sunday pulpit in a Christian church? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Monday. It's the 30th of January. Back live with you here on Issues, Etc. I want your answer to that question. Now, you might be someone who says, for reasons of politics, it shouldn't happen. But that's not what I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned about the politics here. There may or may not be perfectly good reasons to support Israel as an ally of the U.S. The question is, should a Jewish rabbi be given the Christian pulpit on Sunday morning? Ironically, I've been listening to the sermon before I came on the air, the whole sermon. It's posted at the website for New Life. And he actually mentions Jesus more than most of the sermons we review here on Issues, Etc. Not as the Messiah. He says Jesus is your Messiah, your Lord. Would you have a problem with this if your pastor decided, in the interest of solidarity with the Israeli nation, to invite a Jewish rabbi into your pulpit on Sunday morning? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Well, here's a little bit more. Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein says that radical Islam threatens both Israel and America, both Jews and Christians.
If not for theological reasons that God calls us together, for our survival reasons against radical Islam, we need to realize that America and Israel, Jews and Christians, have got to stand together.
Now, this confuses me for several reasons. First of all, he says, if not for theological reasons. Well, is he saying that there aren't theological reasons for Jews and Christians to stand together? I know Pastor Ted Haggard certainly believes that there are. He buys, and those who attend his church, I think, by and large, buy into the dispensational reading of Scripture, wherein the Israel of biblical prophecy is equated with the modern state of Israel. It's an odd way of reading the Bible, but in really kind of a simplistic, open up your New York Times and read the headlines way of reading your Bible, but a lot of Christians buy into it, including Ted Haggard. So there's Ted Haggard's theological reason. I wonder if the rabbi shares that reasoning. So he says, if not for theological reasons, then we have reasons of mere survival for standing together. Oh, but by the way, there are theological reasons. Oddly enough, in the course of this sermon preached by Rabbi Eckstein at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, he feels free to quote and interpret the words of St. Paul. He says that he wishes more Christians would read the Apostle Paul and what he wrote in the book of Romans.
You Gentiles were grafted onto the rich olive tree of Israel. And remember, Paul says, remember, the root supports the branch, not the branch the root. Be not haughty. Be not arrogant. Don't forget your Jewish roots.
Is that what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 11? Go back and read it sometime, folks. Is Paul saying, don't forget your Jewish roots? I know that that's what people think he's saying. But what is the root of both the covenant God made in the Old Testament with his people Israel and the covenant God has brought to fulfillment with all men everywhere? What's the root? The nation of Israel? The Jewish bloodlines? What? Those who carry around the DNA of Abraham? I think Paul's point in Romans 11 is not don't forget your Jewish roots, but don't forget the root, Jesus Christ. Now, this illustrates something. Oddly enough, it comes from a Jewish rabbi, but it still illustrates something I've asserted many times here on the air about dispensationalism. You know, Christians like me are often accused of being replacement theologians. That is, we're accused of replacing Israel with Jesus, or Israel with the Christian church. So we're called, in a derogatory way, replacement theologians. Well, what theology is really the replacement theology when Jesus Christ, the root, is replaced with the modern state of Israel? Who's replacing who? I'll happily own up to being a replacement theologian. I don't think it's replacement. I think it's fulfillment. That Jesus fulfills what is promised to Israel. Not the modern state of Israel, but those who read the Bible from its in a dispensational way, in a dispensational outline, insist adamantly, even to the detriment of the message of Christ, that what fulfills the Old Testament covenant with Abraham is the modern state of Israel, not Jesus. So which theology is really the replacement theology? Is the root the modern state of Israel? Or is it in fact Jesus Christ himself? Are Christians supported by the modern state of Israel? Are we somehow theological support from the modern state of Israel? Should this be happening at all? A Jewish rabbi in a Christian pulpit? I mean, a Jewish rabbi would, by definition of his religion, deny that Jesus is the Messiah, deny that Jesus is the Savior, deny that Jesus is divine, deny many other things that Christians adamantly believe about Jesus Christ. More than happy to say he's your Savior, he's your Messiah, but not mine. Take away the Jewishness of the situation. Someone walks up and says, I think you Christians are just dandy. I'm glad you're so nice to us, whoever we may be. Now, we don't believe that Jesus is the Savior. Let me have your pulpit. I'd like to come and preach at your church. Now, I dare say if the good rabbi were not Jewish, his invitation, his desire to come and preach in a Christian pulpit would have been declined. So how does his being Jewish change anything? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Well, I think we've got one more here, if I'm not mistaken, from Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein of the International Fellowship of Jews and Christians. He told his audience there at Ted Haggard's New Life Church in Colorado Springs that modern Israel is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. So at least in this case, he must agree with their dispensational theology.
Israel, my friends, is God's proof that his word is true, that his promises are true, that he is watching over Israel, and he has not and will never abandon his people.
Now, before I comment on that, what did Pastor Ted Haggard think of the rabbi's message that Israel is the proof that God's word is true?
Thank you so much, Rabbi. We love you.
I cannot believe that that was uttered in a Christian pulpit, even in Ted Haggard's pulpit, where he feels free to leave Jesus, give Jesus the week off regularly by his own admission, where he does not believe that Jesus Christ for sinners needs to be preached every Sunday to Christians. But for him to affirm the message that it is the modern state of Israel that is the proof that God's word is true, rather than it is Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection for sinners, as proof that God's word and all of his promises are true. I cannot believe he would permit such a thing to be preached, or to affirm it with applause. I think it's St. Paul who says, whatever the promises of God may be, they are all yes, not in the modern state of Israel, but in Jesus Christ. And through him, not through the modern state of Israel, we utter our amen to the glory of God the Father. I think that's someplace in Corinthians. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Are you outraged or unconcerned that one of the largest evangelical churches in America allowed a Jewish rabbi to preach during their Sunday morning worship yesterday? Give us a call now, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. this Monday, coming to you live January the 30th, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, tomorrow on the program, we're going to play the whole sermon. We're just going to review it. I mean, we've done sermon reviews of just about every kind of Christian preacher there is. And since Ted Haggard has seen fit to allow a Jewish rabbi to preach the sermon on Sunday morning, let's review it. We'll use our diagnostic. Now, Pastor Ted Haggard said that our diagnostic that his sermons wouldn't pass the test. Well, let's see if the rabbis pass the test. And we cannot blame a Jewish rabbi for not preaching Christ and him crucified. We can't. So it'll be a little bit different tomorrow, when we review the rabbi's sermon. He doesn't believe Jesus is the Savior. Which makes me wonder, what's he doing in a Christian pulpit on Sunday morning? But when we review his sermon, we'll just see how it goes. Pastor Ted Haggard has no problem with this message being preached in his Christian church. Let's review it tomorrow on the program. He says he thinks that his preaching, that is Haggard's preaching, should be more Bible-based, not Christ-based. I say this with a bit of frustration and no small amount of sadness that at least Pastor Haggard is being consistent. The fact that he's got a Jewish rabbi in his pulpit on Sunday morning is proof positive. He's not concerned that the preaching there is Christ-based. Why not just let the Pharisees preach? Can you see St. Paul saying, we preach Christ and him crucified, but next Sunday, here in Ephesus, Pharisee and Rabbi Yekiel Eckstein will come and talk to us about the Jews in Palestine. We're good friends. We go way back. And where I preach Christ and him crucified, I don't know what he's going to preach, but he'll join us here in Ephesus next week. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January. 2 days here, we'll be changing our book of the month. It's called Irrigating Deserts, C.S. Lewis on Education. This book is $22.99 plus shipping and handling. You can order it by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the book Irrigating Deserts, C.S. Lewis on Education, our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January. Palestinian Christians praying at the Church of the Nativity yesterday, while Ted Haggard had a Jewish rabbi in his pulpit, Christians in Palestine were worshiping as Christians worship. I'm assuming they were hearing the message of Christ. Well, according to the Associated Press there in Bethlehem on the West Bank, Palestinian Christians in Bethlehem say that they hope that last week's election of Hamas won't affect their lives in that town of Jesus' birth. They're deeply concerned. We talked about this some weeks back, that pretty soon there won't be any Christian Palestinians left in the town of Jesus' nativity due to the hostility being felt from their Muslim Palestinian neighbors. Well, let's hear from some of these Palestinian Christians. This is Mahmed Serbar. He's pastor of the Catholic community in Bethlehem. And he says he hopes that the Palestinian Christians won't lose their status under Hamas.
As Christians here in the Holy Land, and especially in Bethlehem, we have got a status quo that was respected from the time of the Turkish. And we are hoping that this status quo and the speciality of Bethlehem as the native place of Jesus Christ will continue with its special status that we have.
How would you like to be in that position, being a Palestinian Christian, where you have it coming at you from both sides, from both your fellow Palestinian Muslims and the Jews who live alongside you? Neither of them like you very much, for either reason. They're Christians, by the way. Well, here's Amira Salem, a Christian resident of Bethlehem, saying that security is more important to the Christians who live there than who runs the Palestinian government.
We don't care who wins or who's the government is, but we care for our secure. We care that when we walk in the streets, nobody accuse us or do anything harm us.
Well, when we come back from this break, a little bit more of open lines for your questions and your comments. This is difficult for these Palestinian Christians. They have no friends. And I don't think American evangelicals, the like of Ted Haggard, are their friends at all. I wonder what they think. They probably haven't heard about it because they may not have any power or television or radio. But I wonder what they think if they were to hear that an evangelical Christian like Pastor Ted Haggard had invited to his pulpit yesterday while they were praying in their church in Bethlehem, a Jewish rabbi that was seeking evangelical support for the state of Israel. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Open lines on a rabbi speaking at an evangelical church yesterday and the plight of Christian Palestinians. Open lines when we come back.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The many writings of C.S. Lewis deliver to us the mind of perhaps one of the greatest popular thinkers of the 20th century. That raises a natural question. What kind of an education did C.S. Lewis receive? What kind of an educator was Lewis? Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January is called Irrigating Deserts, C.S. Lewis on Education. The book is $22.99 plus shipping and handling. You can order it from Concordia Publishing House. Call them any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, Irrigating Deserts, C.S. Lewis on Education, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy. Just go to our website and find the book on our homepage, issuesetc.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, C.S. Lewis on Education. It's called Irrigating Deserts.
Take one global minute and enter the world of Moroccans. A woman rocked her baby, feeling shamed by having to beg because her husband divorced her when she was 6 months pregnant. She was taken to be his bride at age 9. She ran away from him, but her parents beat her and made her return to him. In the past, a Muslim Arab Moroccan man simply had to say 3 times he divorces his wife, and it was legally binding. Now there's a new law which requires the husband to go to court in order to get a divorce. It states the spouse with custody of the children may have the house. Pray Muslim Moroccans will be drawn to Jesus Christ, the perfect groom who laid down his life for his bride and will not forsake her. Pray they will learn to honor Christ and one another by loving and obeying him. Learn more about praying for Muslims by visiting missionvisionnetwork.org. That's missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. This date, January 30th, 1798. A member of the United States House of Representatives, Matthew Lyon of Vermont, railed about the malign influence of Connecticut politicians. So Representative Roger Griswold of Connecticut walked up to Lyon and insulted him. Lyon responded by spitting in Griswold's face. 2 weeks later, February 15, 1798, Griswold retaliated by walking up to Lyon in the House chamber and beating Lyon with a hickory cane. Lyon struck back with fireplace tongs, but was thrown to the floor and pummeled by Representative Griswold. It was more than political animosity. Brian Neff of Yale University writes that the political hatred was made intense by the code of honor among gentlemen of that time. Honor demanded retaliation for insults. And that lay behind the famous duel between Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr. Most of us still don't take insults lightly. Where do you draw the line between retaliation and entrusting the matter to God? Of Jesus it is said, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Can you do the same?
On the next Focus on the Family, are you pressured to involve your kids in everything?
When you're running at a pace where you're not even seeing each other and not able to spend a mealtime together, someone has got to say, okay, it's time for us to be different.
Julie Tassie and her parents Robert and Bobby Wolgamuth, along with Dr. James Dobson, share more advice on building a Christian home. That's next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
I hope that the situation between Christians and Muslims are going to stay the same like before Hamas has won the elections.
There's an unidentified resident of Bethlehem saying that he hopes relations between Christians and Muslims won't change now that Hamas has been elected, really by a very surprising majority in the Palestinian Authority. What will this mean? You know, I've been thinking about this over the week, and I'm wondering... That is one of the things that's not so much on the radar screen. Now, we get our audio from the Associated Press, and so someone is paying attention to what's going on to Palestinian Christians. It appears that Christians in the U.S., especially evangelicals and dispensationalists, just couldn't give two hoots about what's going on. They're a little more concerned about Israel than about Palestinian Christians. It's open lines 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Coming up here in this bit of open lines for you, we're also going to be playing a piece from PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly. They recently ran just a summary, very brief summary, with a reporter from a Catholic newspaper on the most recent papal encyclical, the first one coming from Pope Benedict, this one on God is Love. That's the title of it, but it deals with both the nature of sexual love between men and women, but also the nature of Christian charity. It's titled God is Love. We'll hear a little bit of that. It's open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You're listening to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Monday, the 30th of January, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I'm assuming from the lack of response here that you really just don't care whether or not your pastor would invite a rabbi to come and preach at your church. That's what I'm assuming. Now, you couldn't be further from the truth if that's the case. Although, I'm wondering, if Pastor Haggard isn't willing to preach the cross on Sunday morning, there might be a better chance of the rabbi stumbling into it by accident, at least saying, well, you know, you guys believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. I don't believe that, of course. He's your Savior, he's your Messiah, but not mine. And at least in some sort of backhanded way, that congregation might hear about Jesus more often from a Jewish rabbi than from their own Christian pastor. So, no concern at all that one of the 10 largest evangelical churches in America, Pastor Haggard's church in Colorado Springs, New Life, invited a Jewish rabbi to preach on Sunday morning? Not a speech, not a presentation, not a PowerPoint presentation, not a talk after church, not an interview during church, as for some reason we're turning Sunday morning into the Letterman show lately, interviewing people during church. I just say, get yourself a radio program. No, the sermon. In fact, not to get ahead of myself into tomorrow's review of the sermon, but at one point early in the sermon, the good rabbi said, you know, I know Christian pastors who would die for Israel, but Pastor Haggard has given up his pulpit on Sunday morning for Israel. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk to Brady calling from his car. Brady, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Pastor. I want to comment on this because when I was in college at a so-called Christian college at the Christian Chapel, which started in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we had a rabbi preach at one of the chapel services.
Really?
Yes. So that is completely wrong in every way as far as what we believe in Christians, and it really was a terrible witness to everyone there and Everyone left the chapel service wondering what just happened.
What did, if your memory serves, what did the rabbi preach in this Christian worship service?
He preached how, basically it ended up being a sermon on how we all were united. And one God and all believing the same thing.
Interesting. Was there any outrage, any concern expressed by those who attended the chapel?
Not as much as I would have hoped. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess thank you very much, Brady. That's kind of the message. I mean, at least in terms of peace in the Middle East, that's kind of the message delivered by Rabbi Eckstein at Pastor Ted Haggard's church. He says if we're not united in theology, at least we're united in that we have a common foe, radical Islam. Did you have to get a rabbi in the pulpit on Sunday morning to learn that? Can you pick up the newspaper or watch television and figure that one out? Oh, the other thing that confused me about the rabbi's statement, he made it earlier. We played the soundbite for you. When he said, Christians and Jews, America and Israel. He juxtaposed those two things in parallel. Christians and Jews, America and Israel. Now, I got to wonder what he means by the term Christian there and what he means by the word Jews there. It is undeniable that the modern state of Israel is largely a secular state. That the number of devout Jews, that is not just people who call themselves Jews in the ethnic sense, but people who actually practice the religion called Judaism are very, very, are very, very few. Don't do that again, Craig. That hurt my ears. Oh, are very, very few in Israel. Don't do that again, Jeff. That hurt my ears. So what does he mean when he says America and Israel, Christians and Jews? Is he equating those who live in Israel with Judaism as a religion? Is he talking about Judaism as, or Jews as a religious group of people, or as merely an ethnic group of people? And then to equate America with Christians, he must be using a very broad definition there too. But you see what's happening here. The confusion is not cleared up. To be an American is to be a Christian. Okay, fine. You're an American, you must be a Christian. To live in Israel, you must be a Jew. That's all the further we're going to press this definition. You know what it ignores? What it ignores is that there's really a difference between Christianity, the faith, and Judaism, the religion, at all. It ignores the distinction. And you know what the dividing line is? Among all the other differences there may be religiously in terms of what is taught and believed by Christians and Jews, the one that really matters is Jesus Christ. But, you know, I guess, according to Rabbi Eckstein and Pastor Ted Haggard, Paul's great concern, his tears over his brothers, according to the flesh, in the book of Romans, were unnecessary. Why should Paul be worried about his brothers according to the flesh? Why would he shed tears over them? Why would he pray fervently for them that they would be saved? When, according to Haggard and Eckstein, they don't need to be saved. Why didn't Paul just say, come on, America and Israel, Christians and Jews, ain't it all good? Here's Matt from Richmond Heights. Hi, Matt.
Hello, Todd. I have been on his mailing list, Rabbi Eckstein's mailing list, for a number of years until I learned, a couple years ago, that he's involved in funding Jews returning to Israel from Russia and other Eastern European countries, and he solicits money from Christians to fund Jews returning to Israel, but he does not allow the gospel message to reach those new Israeli residents. And so there are other Christian organizations that do support Aliyah and help bring Jews back to their homeland, but they are also giving them, Bibles and New Testaments and helping to spread the word.
So as far as you can tell from Rabbi Eckstein's organization, the literature that you get from his organization, they want Christians to foot the bill for a repatriation of Israel, but they don't want that to come along with the preaching of Christ and Him crucified.
That is true, and so he is, and he does not tell that in his fundraising letter, but I have learned that from other material that I've read. It's available out there on the internet and so forth.
Matt, thank you. If true, Ted Haggard's got to know it. I mean, he's hip deep in this stuff. So the irony continues to thicken here. A man who refuses, a Jewish rabbi who refuses to allow Christians along with their money to preach the gospel to Jews through his organization, is actually invited to come and not preach the gospel to Christians. It seems that the Jews are now proselytizing the Christians. That's the only way I can interpret this. And that a Christian pastor is permitting it to take place. When a pastor allows someone in his pulpit who won't preach Christ, he is allowing something else to be preached in his church, a different faith than Christianity. That's it. I now see clearly. Sure, come on over. We'll let you proselytize us. Well, would you fault a, let's just put it in the context, not of Ted Haggard and American evangelicalism, but liberal denominations. Would you fault a liberal Episcopalian church for allowing a Muslim imam to come and preach in their pulpit on Sunday morning? He's not going to preach Christ, you know. And I say thank you, liberal Christians, so much for your support of us peace-loving Muslims. In terms of whether or not, in terms of the message, it's not going to be that different, is it? It's open lines this Monday, January the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin, and this is Issues, Etc. Well, this came from PBS's Religion and Ethics News Weekly program. One of the biggest stories coming out of the Vatican is Pope Benedict's first encyclical. Now, an encyclical is an official pronouncement from the Pope, not necessarily written by the Pope himself, but written under his authority and with his signature following. This one is called God is Love. Here's the piece from PBS's Religion and Ethics News Weekly. It begins with John Allen, the Vatican correspondent. The interview here is with John Allen, the Vatican correspondent of the National Catholic Reporter.
Pope Benedict XVI gave a preview this week of his first encyclical to be published next Wednesday. The subject is physical and spiritual love and charity. And we want to talk about that with John Allen of National Catholic Reporter, who joins us from Rome. John, welcome. Sum up, if you would, what the Pope said.
Well, the heart of the message is this. The Pope plays with these Greek words for love, eros and agape. Eros meaning satisfying one's own desires. Agape meaning this deeper spiritual sense of the sacrifice of oneself for another. And he's trying to argue that the experience of Eros, of the former, ought to lead one into the latter. And he ties that in also to the concept of charity, the church's social activity, and makes the argument that there has to be a difference between what the church does in the social realm and other secular organizations, and that ultimately it too has to be to leading people to this notion of a spiritual giving of the self to the other.
Mm-hmm. And why did Benedict choose this subject or these subjects for his first encyclical?
Well, you know, he's not laying out an agenda for governance here, but I think, Bob, what he understands is that it's precisely in the arena of Eros, that is, sexual love, that the church's message these days is often the most controversial, and that when the church, from his point of view, says no to something like homosexuality or divorce and birth control, it does so in service to a higher yes, which is trying to lead people to this deep spiritual sense of giving oneself over to the other. So, in a sense, it's Benedict's version of compassionate conservatism.
John, also this week, the Vatican newspaper had a long article arguing that the theory of intelligent design was not good science, and to teach it alongside the theory of evolution was confusing. What are we to make of that? Is that the Pope talking?
Well, no, it's not the Pope talking. I mean, look, you know, John Paul II in 1996 said that evolution is more than a hypothesis, which a lot of people took as the church making its peace with evolution. And ever since then, there's been a strong debate over what exactly to make of that. Last summer, a senior cardinal, Christoph Schönborn of Vienna, published an op-ed piece in the Times in which he said the Catholic Church cannot support evolution. There was a reaction against that from some in the church who don't think that the church should be making scientific pronouncements, and this piece in the Osservatore Romano reflects that. But I think the heart of the church's position, and I think pretty much everyone would agree on this, is that whatever scientific merit evolution has, it can't, at a philosophical or theological level, be interpreted to mean there's no room in the universe for God. And I think at the heart of it, that's what the church is trying to say.
Mm-hmm. John Allen, many thanks.
Okay, that's the brief piece. Bob Abernathy is the correspondent there talking with John Allen of the National Catholic Reporter about the Pope's encyclical, Benedict's encyclical, God is Love. A couple things to note here that I found very interesting, and this is one of the briefest quotes, but it's been appearing in the press quite a bit from this encyclical. The Pope writes, "Love is free. It is not practiced as a way of achieving other ends." That's a brilliant statement. Now, he's talking there about Christian charity, love for the neighbor. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit later with Uwe Simonetto as part of our ongoing series on lay vocation. At the very heart of the Scripture's teaching of vocation is love for the neighbor. And I think here we would do well to listen to Benedict when he reminds us that love is free and it is not practiced as a way of achieving other ends. Love is not an end to a means. It is a good and an end in itself. In other words, when Christians practice charity in the world, when they serve their neighbor, when they love their neighbor, when they care for their neighbor's needs, they don't do it. Well, you know, just answer this question for me. What is most often put forward as the real reason that Christians serve their neighbor in this modern day of Christian thinking? Why do Christians feed the poor and clothe the naked and all of those things? Why? Anybody? Why do you love your neighbor? Why do you serve your children, your spouse? The mission of the church, right? We do it so that we can achieve the mission of the church. Either, according to the social gospel, that the mission of the church is to love the neighbor, or that the mission of the church, that is to preach the gospel to sinners, is served by loving the neighbor. A little bit of a bait and a switch, isn't it? I think the Pope's words are good to remind us that Christians don't practice bait and switch. We don't love our neighbors so that we can preach the gospel to them. We don't take care of our neighbor's needs so that we can preach the gospel to them. The two go hand in hand, yes. But the preaching of the gospel to our neighbor that goes with the love and the care and the concern is an expression of love as well. Now, there's something else in the encyclical that also bears examination. The Pope writes, those who practice charity in the Church's name will never seek to impose the Church's faith on others. Now, insofar as that goes, I agree. Because the proclamation of Jesus Christ for sinners is not an imposition on anyone. It's the greatest act of love that Christians can practice for their neighbor. And one other thought on this, and I just find this refreshing. In an age when the difference between God's right-hand kingdom, His church, His kingdom of grace, where God rules His church through the forgiveness of sins by His word and His sacraments, is so often confused with God's left-hand kingdom, where God rules the world, the kingdoms of men, through force and reason. Pope Benedict says that the state alone is responsible for creating a just society, not the church. This is what liberal Christianity forgot about 30 years ago. They said, well, we need a just society, so that's the church's new job, to create a just society. And social justice came to substitute for the justice of God. And the good news of feeding the poor came to substitute for the good news of Christ for sinners. Oh, by the way, conservative evangelicals are doing it too now. The latest expression of this, Rick Warren's global peace plan, which may accomplish many good things for all the wrong reasons. It's just another version of the social gospel. The church's job, says the Pope, and I think he's right here, is to form consciences in political life and to stimulate greater insight into the authentic requirements of justice, as well as the greater readiness to act accordingly, even when this might involve conflict with situations of personal interest. That's kind of a complicated way of saying that the Christian practices selfless love for his neighbor, not in order to create social justice, but because they have been made right with God through Jesus Christ. The result, the byproduct, is a more just society, but that's not the church's goal, first and foremost. Oh, speaking of charity, concern for the neighbor, that isn't done as a bait and switch for the gospel, but done because Christ has given us all things, because he has provided for us here in this life and the life to come with his own life given for us at the cross, so that we can turn around and in complete free love, not as a means to an end, but simply out of concern for our neighbor and not for ourselves, help our neighbor, love our neighbor, and, as I said before, above all, proclaim that Christ to the neighbor. LCMS World Relief underwrites issues, etc. They understand this right relationship between the love of God shown us in Jesus Christ and Christian charity. To find out more about them, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can call them toll-free, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. As we go into this break, and for about the next half hour, we're going to be doing Issues Etc. Sermon Review. Feel free to join us here, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The sermon review comes from, usually we have pastors preaching sermons in pulpits, or if you're at Ted Haggard's church, a Jewish rabbi. But laying that aside for a moment until tomorrow's sermon review, men who train to be pastors, who are not pastors yet but are training to be pastors, also are given an opportunity from time to time to preach. Now, Vicar Charles Lehman is the vicar. He is a pastor in training. Pastor to be in training, I guess that's kind of the way to put it. At St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, preaching on the sermon text, Matthew 8, 1 through 13. Now, this is a very familiar passage. I'll read it for you, and then we're going to be hearing Pastor Lehman's sermon and reviewing it here on Issues, etc. Here's the text, the 13 verses of Matthew chapter 8. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for the proof to them. Picking up at verse 5, when he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I, too, am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you that many will come from the east and the west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. When we come back from this break, Pastor Vicar Charles Lehman's sermon on this text from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. We'll be reviewing the sermon using our three-part diagnostic. Following our sermon review, Pastor Dan Kruger is going to join us. We're going to talk about Christians and depression. What's the difference between a mood, a bad mood, and real depression? He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Questions and Answers in Dealing with Depression. Then Dr. Uwe Simonetto joins us as we continue our conversation with him on vocation. We're going to return to the issue of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and to Christians and government authority. In particular, how do Christians seeking to be guided by the Word of God, how do they practice godly, if there is such a thing, godly resistance? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, was his solution the best? We'll talk with Uwe Simonetto of the New Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation about that. And then in the last 20 minutes of the program, an update on Illinois and Missouri pharmacists and the morning after pill. Ed Martin, an attorney in St. Louis, who's filed a complaint against Target with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission over the dismissal of a former Target pharmacist who refused to fill prescriptions for the morning after pill and who's also part of the legal team in a suit filed last week in Madison County on behalf of four Illinois pharmacists who lost their job with Walgreens. He joins us to bring us an update on that unfolding story. Tomorrow on the program, we'll have Dr. John Warwick Montgomery respond to our interview with Dr. Bart Ehrman. I don't know. I think probably our Ehrman interview of a couple weeks ago has garnered more response from our listeners in the last few weeks than hardly any other in recent memory. He wrote that book, Misquoting Jesus. Well, we'll continue our series. We'll talk with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about that, get his responses to the thing that Dr. Ehrman had to say in his book and in our interview tomorrow on the program. We'll be right back with our sermon review.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.